listening to Para X.
All music used on the Black Cat Lounge is done so with the grateful permission of the artist.
Lounge. welcome back to the place that never closes, the Black Cat Lounge. Our music tonight was provided by the one and only Sharon Knight, whom I absolutely love and adore. Isn't she great? I mean, that was just great music. I love it. It's Middle Eastern music. She usually does a lot of pagan music, but she is so wonderful, and she allows us to use her music for free. So she's just a wonderful person in my estimation. Oh, by the way, I am your most congenial host, Tim Shaw. And tonight we're going to be talking about one of the most haunted locations on the entire East Coast. And you know that this cat's been all over the place. I love this place, Hillview Manor. But we need to do some business first. And I have a mini rant that I have to share with all of you. And I know right now everybody's going, ooh, a rant. It's not that type of rant. It really is. This is kind of sad. My condolences go out to all the families of the recent victims of domestic violence, which has become the talking point on social media on most paranormal people's pages. Now, I'm not going to mention names because you all know what happened, but I'm going to say that I am totally, totally, totally disgusted by some people out there who won't let the matter go. It was a tragedy. And you know what, people? Over the years, I found out so many things. Bad things do happen to people that, well, we sometimes all share in common. And what it is the para community is not immune to domestic violence. You know, people, you got to wake up. It's really not. Domestic violence sweeps across culture, sweeps across the nation. It doesn't matter. Domestic violence can be found almost anywhere. But all of the accusations and innuendo that is preoccupying so many of you has got to stop, my friends. Why? Because none of us were there, and none of us really know what the true and real situation was. Listen, I knew them on a first name basis because we did cons together and I did interviews with them and such, but no one really knows what went on behind closed doors. So, friends, time to stop with all this voyeuristic, thrill-seeking curiosity. Move on to something that you can actually do something about. And if domestic violence is something that you feel very, very strongly about, then get your hands dirty. Anybody can hide behind a keyboard and repost and give their comments. But if you feel that strongly, contact agencies, volunteer, and give the shelters. But please, my friends, enough with this stuff. Act like adults, for Christ's sake. Accept that this was a terrible tragedy and let the families mourn in peace. And oh, by the way, I'll come right out and say, if you don't like anything that I'm talking about, please, turn off the show. Turn off the show. I understand. Really, I understand. And the other thing is, for those of you out there, and I'm going to say those of you. I was originally going to say those of you who are idiots, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say those of you out there who are spreading lies about how demons caused this tragedy. All I'm going to say is this. Maybe you should consider buying a bridge in Brooklyn that I have for sale. Okay, enough said. Oh, hey, and so let's go to a more fun topic. I was, this past week, I got a chance to hang out with one of my good friends, Witch Doctor Atu, and Luis Vesquez, who is a high priest in the Santeria religion at Luis's shop on Niagara Street in Buffalo, New York. What a great time. It's just so great to pick his brain, both of their brains, as a matter of fact. And Witch Doctor 2 gifted me with a chicken foot. And my wife looked at it in the car and said, what the hell is that? Well, the chicken foot actually acts as a good luck charm. And you hang it over the door, you know, to keep the luck in your house. And it was so great to see them. And you know, I'm blessed because I get a chance to hang out with some of the very coolest people out there in the world. And those two are some of the coolest out there. But hey, I got to remind all of you this Saturday, September 26th, myself, Eric Charles, Henry Foyster, and Kat Klocko will be attending the very first Hillview Paranormal Convention, which is held at the very haunted Hillview Manor, where else? In Newcastle, Pennsylvania. It's going to be a lot of fun with some great speakers and even better vendors hanging out and, well, just hanging out in the terrifying halls of the manor. I love it there. Hey, wait a minute. Amy Wall from Daredevil Creations going there? Yeah, she is. Hey, so please, guys, take the time to go and visit and just say hi to everybody, because you'll be surprised what these people are bringing to the table. Not just the lecturers, but the vendors too. And oh, wait a minute. There's also going to be a showing of the Bigfoot, the movie, that is going to be happening. So it's all going to be so awesome. This is going to be an awesome event. I'm going to be speaking on spirit communication, and the melodious Eric Charles will be singing for his supper, which is always a treat. Well, maybe he'll starve a little bit, but you guys be the judge of that. Admission is $12 at the door, 10 with a non-perishable food item. Also, there's going to be an evening ghost hunt for an additional charge. And for more information, head on over to their website at www.hauntedhillviewmanor.com. And if you do attend, make sure you do stop by and say hi. I love meeting each and every one of you. You're all special to me. You're all special to me. And if you want to know what else is going on in the world of the lounge, head on over to www.theblackcatlounge.net. There you can find out my appearance schedule, my upcoming classes, which I'm going to be teaching locally here in Western New York, and I'm really excited about that. And when our video, Curiosity, will be shown. We're making great inroads, and we're putting a couple more episodes together, and we're looking for a 6-episode series that will amaze and sometimes leave your head scratching, but you'll have a good time. So check it out, check it often, because it's October, and after all, events get added sometimes daily to my schedule, much to the chagrin of my long-suffering wife. And speaking about, well, one of the most ghostly active locations here in the East, we have someone who is intimately associated with this truly magical place, namely Hillview Manor. Now, let me tell all of you a little story. Sit back, my friends. You guys know my feeling about abandoned hospitals and such. Every one of them has a ghost story. And while those stories are often fun to listen to, I'm one of those guys, you know, I'm a spiritualist, yeah, you know, and I believe in all this stuff, but, you know, it's like the old adage from, you know, I'm from Missouri, you gotta show me. Let me tell you something, I went to Hillview Manor last year. I gotta tell you something, it was kind of amazing, it really was. I didn't expect anything. I just thought, okay, we're taking part in another haunted location. I got some friends. We're going to wander around. It wasn't even 20 minutes. 20 minutes when I looked down a hallway and saw a shadow person going into one of the patient rooms. I stood there and went, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. That is how, I mean, it's such an active place. I had the barometric pressure drop in a couple places. When I saw another shadow person who actually went and just kind of peeked out one of the rooms. I'm telling you, this was not out of my peripheral vision. This was a full frontal, right on, holy crap experience that I can't rationally explain. To me, that's truly paranormal. That's truly ghost hunting. I don't understand what happened. I have no clue. I also got a couple great EVPs, along with a clip of a video that was not... I was scratching my head. We were walking, I believe, on one of the, I think it was the second floor, and we were going into what used to be a kitchen, and there's not one, but two heavy audible breaths that I know that none of us made. Amazing. It was amazing. This place has the history, it has the mystery, and in my estimation, I'm going to be honest with you, it has to be one of the most haunted locations in the East. And you guys know I've been to quite a few. So, good friends, please give a warm Black Cat Lounge welcome to Operations Manager, Bon Vivant, and one of the most illuminated ladies that I've ever met, Ms. Rochelle Razzo. Hello, Rochelle.
Hi.
And I'm going to say it again.
Illuminated,
effervescent, and iridescent. That's the way I'm going to describe you from here on in. How's that?
That's awesome. I love it.
I figured you would enjoy that. Hey, I got to ask you something. Before we start going into Hillview Manor and talking about it, since you're a new guest, I like to get the backstories of everybody that comes on because it's always fascinating. People come from all walks of life. They come from all belief systems. A lot of them come from, hey, I didn't believe in anything until. So I'm going to put you on the hot seat, otherwise known as the fake zebra skin bar stool of love that we call it here. And I'm going to ask you, why the paranormal? Rochelle, What was it that not only drew you to the field, but also allowed you to develop such a passion for this particular location?
Well, everybody always says it starts when you're a child. You know, I mean, that's the most common answer I've heard is it happened, started when I was a kid and I saw ghosts. Well, that's not really the case with me. It's more that my great grandmother, like, she came straight over on the boat from Poland. And she was a really strong believer in the paranormal. And just knowing she was made me. And she passed away probably when I was about, I think it was about 8 or 9 years old. And they didn't want me to really hear the stories they were saying about her. And right after she passed away, but I was sitting on the stairwell, you know, the staircase, listening because I couldn't sleep. And I heard them talking about how, well, my aunt was talking about how she thinks that she came back right after she passed away and was saying goodbye to them, her and her husband. And I came down after I was listening to the stories and I'm like, is this all true? You know, did you really hear grandma come back? And my aunt's like, oh no, it was just a dream. I knew it wasn't. You know, she said, oh, it's just talking about a dream. And I knew that they weren't talking about a dream. I heard the whole thing. So I'd say shortly after that, she did come to me. I would say it was a dream, but I was talking to her, you know, I was carrying on a conversation with her, and it's really hard to explain. I mean, I've also had, I mean, prior to that even happening and talking with my grandmother who had just passed away, I had always had weird, strange experiences that I couldn't explain. Like out-of-body experiences, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
I would leave my body. I would float around. I never really left my home. But, you know, I had really bad, like, sleepwalking problems when I was a kid. And it wasn't, I know I wasn't really sleepwalking. I think that my body was just following where it wanted to go. You know, it's so hard to explain.
Oh, absolutely. No, I understand. I know exactly what you're saying.
I was fully aware of everything that was happening. And, but yet there were times, you know, my mother said she had to wake me up and I'm like, you didn't wake me up. You just stopped me from keep, you know, from moving. It's strange, but yeah, I'd have to say it was my great grandmother that got me started and I was probably about 7 or 8.
Well, you know what we always
say. She could read.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. She could read cards and stuff. And this one time she's like, see the rainbow? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to cut it in half. And I'm not kidding you. This was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, who do you mean? And she went and she picked up some sticks out of the yard. And she started making like this little, I couldn't even tell you because it's been so long, but it was like this little formation of sticks and stuff. And she said, you keep your eye on the rainbow, watch it. And I'm not kidding you, that thing cut in half. I don't understand it till this day. I don't know if she just knew that the rain was passing and that we were only going to see part of the rainbow. And she was just messing with me. But those are sort of the things she would do. I mean, it was, she always knew when stuff was going to happen. It was weird.
Well, no, it's not so weird because a lot of us have gone through it. And actually, your grandmother sounds as if she followed the Strega traditions. And I have some good friends up here who are Strega themselves. So, I mean, it's really great. And the other thing that we always say is the fact that if you have a dream where you really feel as if you spoke and experienced that person, it was not a dream. It was a visitation where the...
No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, I think you were always, unfortunately, like the rest of us, I think you're predispositioned to be a part of the paranormal family. And I really think it's great. Now, Rochelle, let me ask you this. Hillview Manor, that place has got a fascinating history. I mean, it's been around a long time. It's gone through so many different incarnations. Would you tell the listenership a little bit about its history? Because people that are going to be coming to the paranormal convention, a lot of them are kind of like, well, we know it as, you know, let's say an old folks home, which was later on. So tell everybody a little bit about its early history and how it just kind of morphed into different genres and incarnations and different lives.
Okay. I want to start by saying it's not an asylum. I have so many people call us an asylum. Now, mind you, okay, in 1925, they started construction of the building. And then in 1926, they opened it. It was in October 26th. They opened it to the Lawrence County Home for the Poor. A lot of people don't understand what that is. And they think, oh, it's just like a house, a place where poor people live, which wasn't true. It was kind of like what it became, an extended care facility. It just changed names when it turned over into Holy Manor. But it was always a place for people to come that needed extra care, whether they were poor, people that just got out of jail. There were a lot of mentally ill people here. They had a hospital on the third floor when it was the poor farm, and it was the nurses' quarters up there. And then in 1977 is when they changed the name. And it was actually it was a contest to see who could come up with a name. And I guess Hillview Manor is the winning name. And they changed it to Hillview Manor. And not a whole lot changed when it changed over to Hillview Manor. It just kind of transitioned over into more of a nursing home setting where it was older folks. It was basically an old age home at the end. But there were still some younger people here. And there were people here from the time it was a poor farm until Hillview closed its doors in 2004. Jimmy Marker was one of them. He was here most of his life. He's one of the most popular people in the building. They called him Snap because he carried a Polaroid camera around his neck and took pictures and would tell people, they'll take your picture for a dollar or a cigarette, and this time he didn't have film in his camera. They were jokesters, him and his buddy Jules. If you come to Hillview, you'll get to experience them firsthand on the third floor. But they do roam through the whole building. We get them down here in the break room. Right before you introduced me, who's sitting here waiting for you to, you know, introduce me, and I saw a shadow in the break room, in our break room, walk past the door. I thought it was Amy, and I got up and I went and looked, and she was not out there. And I looked on the cameras, and here she was walking through the halls by herself. She's crazy.
to say the least. Now, you also had another when I was there last year, I went into a room where there was a lot of dolls and baubles and shiny necklaces. Tell us about the woman who lived in that room.
Her name was Mary Virginia. She left here when Hillview closed. She was still alive when Hillview closed the stores. She passed away, I believe it was in 2008, at another nursing home facility in Newcastle. But she was here at least 12 years that I know of. She had cerebral palsy, so she was in a home since she was a young child. They did research on her, a couple of the nurses that took care of her when it was Hillview. After she left, this one woman really did a lot of research on her. And she was in a home from the time she was a child, had no known family, no friends, nobody that they could find. So she was just, the nursing homes were her family, were her homes. She was a very frail woman, too, and very thin, very tall, and everybody loved her. And we get some of the most amazing EVPs from her. It passes over. I mean, I believe that everything that you are in life passes over into dust. And she was a sweet lady then. She's still a sweet lady. And you get some of the cutest EVPs from her.
I have to say that I thought it was just... I love when people bring offerings to spirits, because to me it's almost a form of ancestor worship. And as a lot of people know, I mean, I'm very into some of the pagan, and well, I'll just go right out on the limb, some of the voodoo traditions, where they really, really, you know, they love to give the entities something as thank yous. And as so they know that they're always remembered. Our guest tonight is Rochelle Razzo from Hillview Manor and you're listening to the Black Cat Lounge here. Where else? On the Para-X Radio Network. Now, Rochelle, how long was it in between when they closed the building and when they started opening it up for, you know, other purposes? Was it a long time?
No. There was probably about 4 to 5 years in between the time they closed until they opened it up for investigations. I remember one thing I'll tell you, and I tell everybody this, and everybody will agree with me that comes here and loves it. You don't choose the building chooses you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would drive past, and it just seemed like the building called to me, and I would come up here and walk the grounds. And we had no contact information to get a hold of who owned it. And I found a phone number for the person that took care of the lawn. And we called them, and they gave us the owner's number. And I called the owner. And at the time, they just were not interested in doing anything with the building. You know, they didn't want anybody in the building. But he did, one of the owners did meet me up here, walk me around a little bit. And then I never heard back from him. And I'd say probably about 6 months later is when I got an email from somebody saying that they were going to start running ghost hunts here. And I was just thrilled because I honestly did not want to do what I'm doing right now. All I wanted to do was get into this building, just see it. And so when I found out somebody actually was going to start doing ghost hunts here, I was just ecstatic. I could not wait to get in. And I'd have to say it was probably only like a month later, and we were here, and we were investigating. I think we were like the second or third group in the building, and just fell in love with it. Started helping out, and then, well, circumstances. In 2013, it was May of 2013, the building chose me. I just keep saying the building chose me to start running things. I'm not going to get into details about what happened, but I'm here.
And that is the way things are, because as we all know, everything is vibrational in nature. Like attracts like. That's all part of the natural laws of which we're all a part of. And it seems that some people have that aptitude. Some people have that attraction. And yes, some locations make you feel more comfortable than others. Some people, some locations draw you in. They draw you in, and it envelops you with love, because I believe buildings, such as, and just like spirits, are living things. All things are vibrational. Everything is moving, and I think that's exactly what happened. Rochelle, are you ready for a couple chat room questions? Because I got them stacked up, and I don't want to go and disappoint some people.
Bring them on.
Okay, Rochelle, has there ever been something that happened to you that really, truly scared you in that building?
Yes. Yeah, you know what? I'm actually more jumpy now than I was before I started working here, because I know what's out there. You know what I mean?
So, yep.
I used to be pretty rock solid. You could jump around the corner, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Now I scream, I swing, and it's because of this place that I'm like that, because you never know what you're going to walk into when you're walking through the halls. One time, and people may have heard this story before because I've talked about it, and honestly, it scared the crap out of me when it happened, but now that I step back and look at it, it wasn't something to be afraid of. We were walking down One North, and it was myself and my friend Crystal, which is another tour guide, and we were just being drawn to the end of the hallway towards the atrium. And we stopped probably about 15 feet before we reached the end of the hallway, and it was pitch dark. We didn't have exit signs then, and somebody behind us took a picture, and in the flash, it lit up the end of the hall, and we saw something. I'm not going to tell you what it was yet, and we both turned around and took off running at the same time. Not a word was spoken. We just took off running. Stopped, they're shining their flashlights on us, like, what's going on? And her and I looked at each other, and we both put our hands up to our head, like, almost like we had ears above top of her head. And I looked at her and I said, what did you see? And at the same time, she said gargoyle, I said imp. So what we saw looked like a giant creature sitting at the end of One North. And for some reason, I mean, we turned around and ended up going back down after I stopped. Like, I was shaking. My eyes were teary. I was totally creeped out because it wasn't something that I had ever seen before. And, like, I said afterwards, excuse me, I thought, Indian, Indian. I just kept thinking Indian. It wasn't a gargoyle. It wasn't an imp. It was an Indian. But why would it look like that? So I'd say probably about a month or two ago, we were giving a tour, and, well, let me ask the name. Do you remember her name? Oh, I know her name. I have her on Facebook. She's going to look up her name. Wonderful woman. Really wonderful woman. She's Indian. And we're giving her the tour. Lucy. Yeah, her name's Lucy. But anyway, she stopped, and she's like, she was telling us that is with an Indian. What was it, an Indian watcher, like a protection spirit?
Yes.
And just totally blew my mind. You know, I was like, that is why I kept thinking Indian. And it didn't, and like I said, it scared me so bad because of what I saw. But the feeling itself, I went right back down there. It wasn't something that scared me out of the building or... Actually, afterwards, it was kind of a comforting feeling, to be honest with you. Liebfried, I think her last name is Lucy Liebfried. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's the person that told me. And I'll tell you what, she was really accurate walking through the building with us. Everywhere she would say something, it was like, yeah, we've had that experience, you know, and we didn't tell her anything. But I'd have to say that was my creepiest experience.
Another chat room question coming in for you, Rochelle. Do you ever go in the building alone now, after, you know, after you've had all these experiences and after you know what? See, that's what everybody always kids me about, because I don't like the dark. I really don't. I'm one of those people that just don't, because I know what walks around in the dark. I really, you know. So you're always kind of like on edge. But do you ever go into the building by yourself and kind of wander around?
No.
I like that. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. I'm going to have t-shirts. I'm going to have t-shirts made up that say, if you see me running, try to keep up. You know, that's...
Yeah, that's about it, too. I mean, I will go off into the building by myself, but only when I know that there's other people in the building. So, like, if I know I'm heading towards someone, I'm okay going by myself. I'm okay coming back by myself. But for me to walk through the front door by myself, knowing no one is in the building, and to go out into the building by myself, it's not going to happen. I won't go past the break room doors, like the foyer doors into the building. Like I said, because I know what I can... And it's not like it's something to be afraid of. I just do not want to experience anything by myself. I have to have a witness with me.
Always. Listen.
I'm going to be like, I saw like a whole family of... spirit standing there, and nobody's going to believe me unless somebody else is with me to see it.
But that's exactly it. I mean, I saw something at the Hinsdale House several years ago, and I saw someone at the bottom of these stairs, and yeah, these people are in another room, but none of them saw it with me. Although everybody had different experiences, but the idea is you always want somebody else there. And I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like going and having to change my depends on a regular basis when I'm in there by myself. I won't lie. Hey, Rochelle.
But I do not let myself from fear. I let myself from laughter. And it's always after something scary happens.
I'm the same way. I am just exactly the same way. I see something, I start laughing. You know, it's like, oh my God, look at that. And I start laughing and I'm all excited about it. But then, you know, other people but again, if you're with other people, it's a little bit safer. And I won't lie. I don't like the dark. I don't like that. Hey, I've got a kind of crazy question here that I want to bring out. And it's like, does Rochelle ever feel that by doing like the ghost hunts, they're exploiting the ghosts of Hillview? Or does she feel that the spirits are really happy to remember, to be remembered and talked to?
I honestly think that they enjoy it. I think they like to be remembered. It, like you said, it's like a memorial to them all the time. I just wish we had more names. I wish we knew everyone's names in the building. I wish we could talk to all of them all the time. But is that kind of basically the question you were asking me?
Right, yes.
You know, I think they're happy?
Yeah. Because I think they are.
I think that there's some here that might be sad, too. I don't think that they're stuck here. I think they come and go. I think they like it here, so they come back. And that's why I think sometimes you'll have slow days. Sometimes you'll have really busy days. It depends on the people that are investigating and if the spirits like them or feel connected to them.
Right.
There's no rhyme or reason to any of this. You know, I wish I could give you all the answers, but no, I can't. I don't think anybody can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the thing. I get a kick out of these people that they go into a place, the all the guides, all the workers, everybody that really is in a location on a normal basis, no one feels anything really bad. Nobody feels anything negative. Then all of a sudden you get some people in there that get overwhelmed by things that, you know, that they see rather than, rather than what is the truth. And they automatically think, oh, the children were raped in this place, and this one, this, and this is that, and all this negativity. And I have to say that I do believe that some people really let their imaginations, and I know I'm going to get hate mail, but I think a lot of psychics and mediums who are not properly trained go off on crazy tangents. And I, you know, and that's where I always had a problem with people that weren't properly trained. And I know I'm pretty anal about it because I'm trained up to yin yang sometimes when I think about all the training I took. But people just, and Dawn in the chat room just wrote, overreactors, and that's exactly what they are. And they run with it rather than stopping, calming down, taking that breath, and reopening themselves to see actually what is there. And you know, the other sad thing is, and I've found this a couple times, sometimes people read their own spirits that are with them. And sometimes these people bring in attachments, sometimes people bring in like negative, you know, thoughts and thought forms too, and they're affected by them. And I'll tell you, I've walked Hillview, I don't even know how many hours I walked until my knee was swollen and I couldn't walk anymore. I love the place. I didn't feel anything bad. I felt that people were really happy that, you know, people were walking, you know, the living were actually walking in there and enjoying it and you know, trying to make contact with those who were there in visitation. I just love it. And Rochelle, I really think you guys do a great job there. And I got to tell you something. This was cool. I got to tell you, and everybody out there, this was my huge experience there. There's a room in the basement that really, to me, tells the true story of the people who stayed at Hillview. And if it's like a storage room, and there's suitcases and shoes and paperwork in there. And I, you know, I'm a stickler. I love reading old paperwork and old, you know, medical files and newspapers and everything. And as I was down there and I looked, and I'm reading this kind of intently, I got pushed. And there was somebody else in the room with me, but she was on the other side of the room, and I got pushed. Now, I'm not telling you that this was one of these, you know, like you're wearing a loose jacket and maybe, you know, your clothes kind of tug a little bit. I'm talking a hardcore push that, like, pushed me forward. Does this happen there in that storage room very often?
I've heard of many people saying they've gotten touched, whispered in their ear. People have been sick in that room before. I guess it depends on how sensitive you are. I had one woman say she had her ankles grabbed. And we went back down after she had her ankles grabbed, and we did an EVP session, and we asked, and they actually said, yes, they grabbed her ankles.
Nice.
I think that they like to play games with you. I think they like to scare you on purpose. It just depends on who you are. One woman came in here one time and said, I'm not afraid of anything. Nothing has ever scared me. And she ended up coming downstairs probably halfway through the night saying she's never been so scared in her life.
I love
that
it.
She saw what looked like about the size of a human, but it looked like a snake shadow slithering in the hallway, and she's scared to death of snakes. Well, I always tell people, too, if I'm going to come back and I have the capability of changing forms, crawling on the ceiling, whatever, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to scare you, because that's just me. I love to freak people out. So I know that they can do things. She was very, very cocky about not being, you know, being so,
right,
so brave, and that scared her. And she was very, I guess, humbled by the experience, because you know, she said, "Doodle, that I'm not going to say that anymore."
Well, you know, everybody's got to think about this. If we're all vibrational in nature, when you think about it, and thoughts are things, which are vibrations, and spirit is vibratory in nature, a lot of times spirit already kind of picks up on what, you know, your personality and you know, your cockiness and finds that Achilles heel. And I always say spirit's the great equalizer. Because every time I get a little bit too cocky, spirit will do something like that, and they'll scare the hell out of me or whatever, do something to make me think. And that's all usually, that's what they want you to do. They want you to think. I think that's probably one of the greatest things that entities and spirits can do. So, I mean, to me, it makes perfect sense. Hey, I gotta ask you, since the Paracon is coming up this weekend, that's September 26th, where do you feel is a location within the manor itself that might be something that those investigators who are taking part in the hunt at night might want to check out? I'll make it even easier for you. Outside of the break room, what's your favorite place to investigate?
Oh, why did you say break room? You know what? You would be so surprised at what happens down here in the break room. But anyway, my favorite, all-time favorite area in the building would be the second floor. It would be 2 West. It's Angelo's hallway, we call it. There was a man in that hallway in a bathroom that committed suicide. Don't want to really harp on that too much, as much as the activity in that hallway. I don't think it all has to do with him. I just think that hallway is just has so much energy in it. It's ridiculous. I call it the noisy hallway. You sit there, and I always tell people, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is, hot, cold, morning, night. You wait about 10 to 15 minutes. You'll walk in there, it's dead silent. Wait 10 to 15 minutes, and you will start to hear shuffling, knocking, whistling. I have done shave and haircut and received the response. Haircut, 2 bits. I get the dot, boom, boom, at the end. I have asked them to start it and got dun-dun-dun-dun from them, knocking on stuff several different times. It's my all-time favorite spot. And it wasn't always. I mean, I was scared to death of that area probably the first several years we were here. I did not like going up to that area. Just felt a very heavy presence. I know that people that worked here said they did not like going up onto that floor, working at that floor, because of the way it felt. And I honestly believe that we've picked up the vibe in this place and made it a lot happier because we don't focus on the negativity that occurred here at, you know, any given day. Back when we know that bad stuff happened. We know that there were bad spirits, but we try to focus on the good. And I think that it's really lifted the energy in the building, and not like the hallway. It doesn't feel heavy anymore. It feels more fun and active and energetic. It's fun.
But I think that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Enough with the negativity, enough with the darkness. Again, like attracts like. If that's what you want to do and you want to bring in lower entities, I've done a lot of seances in my life. And if you want to go and bring in lower entities, then dwell upon the darkness. I myself would rather dwell upon the light and be happy and bring in higher beings and those spirits who are there and are happy that we're there. Hey, I got another question for you. This is kind of my own question, because people often ask me, especially guys at work, you know, they know what I do, and they go, I got to ask you something. Do other people think that you're like totally crazy when you tell them what, you know, you're doing? So my question to you is, when, let's say you're at a social gathering and people sit down and they're like, so, Rochelle, what do you like to do for fun? Do you get that, like, look that, like, oh, okay, you're insane, like I've gotten a couple times? Or do you find that people really are, like, really acceptive and they're, like, really interested in the fact that you are such a part of a great location?
I have to say 95% of the people are very open to it and want to hear my experiences. I've really not come across very many people that are negative about it. Mostly on, where you see that sort of thing is on, like, on social networks and stuff. You'll see somebody jump in and start mouthing off and saying, oh, it's all fake, or you're all crazy. But in person, you tell somebody and you think, oh, this person's going to really look down on me. And as soon as you tell them, it's like their eyes light up and they've got a story to tell you. Most people, I really believe most people believe, and most of them want to tell you a story. They're just afraid to, you know.
Right.
Because they're afraid that they're going to, you know, be made fun of. Or and when they find out that you do something like that, it's like, oh, what a relief. I can finally tell someone, or I finally have somebody I can share my experience with.
Well, you know, Rochelle, I always say this. Social media is the devil, you know, because so many people cause so many things, which is, the you know, sort of the source of my rant tonight. And the problem is so many people can go and hide behind their keyboards and think that they can say whatever they want and without repercussions or whatever. And it is such a sad commentary on their lives, you know, when they start doing things like that. And it's all you can do is just... I had talked to Chip Coffee about that.
What you should do is ignore them.
Exactly, and that's what he did.
Because when you feed into it, you're just putting logs on the fire.
Exactly.
When you give in to somebody that's doing that. I honestly know I'm guilty of when somebody says something nasty and I can take so much of it. I will fire back briefly, and then I'm done. I just say my piece and I'm done. I'm not innocent.
No, but I mean,
I'm one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet, but if you tick me off, man.
Like the rest of us. You're only human. Chip Coffee told me the same thing. You got to ignore them. You got to, you know, these people, you know, they can go and they can wallow in their unhappiness. And the only way that they can be happy is if you're unhappy. So if you're happy, they'll never be happy. You know, so I mean, that's the way you always think about it. You know, you guys have a really dedicated staff, and I've met quite a few of people, and I really loved your staff last year when I was there. I mean, they were so knowledgeable, so nice. When I you know, and I got lost a couple times. I won't lie because, you know, I get
everybody
lost.
Does.
Oh my God, I get lost walking out of my house. But I mean, it was they were so great, and they knew everything, and I had some great conversations. What do you look for in staff? You know, to bring somebody in to be, let's say, a full-blown tour guide or someone who is part, not just like a volunteer or whatever, but someone who is an integral part of Hillview Manor.
Like I told you about me, I don't really think I choose them. I think the building does. They know my staff members, which I can't even, I don't even like calling them staff members. They are my family. They are my friends, my family. I love them. Everyone that I have met because of Hillview and that I'm close to is because of Hillview. A lot of these people, a lot of them, though, were before Hillview. They were part of my group that I had years and years ago. I started ghost hunting probably about 16 years ago, I think it was. And we used to do things together. So some of them are still here with us. And the rest, like I said, the building chooses them. I mean, I do, yes. We all do. We all choose them. They just, somebody will walk in the doors and it's just like all of a sudden, boom, we just love them. Or, you know, they're just, they're a part of the family. Amy's the newest one. It's been almost a year now, yeah. She's probably the newest one. I don't choose them. We don't go out looking for them. We don't, they pop up. You know, we've got our immediate staff. We're all very close friends. And then there's people that come and help do cleanups. And they're all really good people. It's just that, you know, we can't only have so many staff members before it starts to get really clustered. Too many people.
Right.
But, yeah, I can't. If I let everyone that asks come help, there wouldn't be anybody. There wouldn't be any investigator. It would be all staff members.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
Everybody asks. And I feel so bad turning people away. I really do. but they've got to really click with all of us. I mean, because we are family, we're always up here. Everybody has to get along, and it just happens. It's not like we choose it; it just happens.
And that's what happens in most cohesive, well-run organizations. And I think the bane of volunteerism, unfortunately, is when you get too top-heavy and people start kind of fading off and cliques start to develop. And that's what you don't want. You want to keep it nice and you want to keep it close. And everybody's got the exact same business sense. Everybody's got the model in their head. Everybody knows exactly what the goals are for the location. And they all don't mind being a part, you know, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for really important cogs in the machine, and I think you guys have really got a great, great staff there. Now, I heard through the grapevine, we won't say her name, Amy Perry Lane, I heard through the grapevine that you had some definite thoughts on Bigfoot. Now, since you guys are going to be showing Bigfoot, the movie, on Saturday night, I thought I would bring this up and toss it at you and make you put you on the spot and share your definite thoughts.
I've never seen one. I don't know for a fact that they exist, but I really strongly want to believe that. It's same story, no ghost, I mean, I've never seen one, but I think it's more rare to see one, but we have experience here, I've got to tell you about after. I had a personal experience when I was younger with what we thought was a Bigfoot. I was probably about 12. We went camping. We were in Ohio. I was sleeping in the back of my dad's Blazer, and they were all the adults were by the campfire talking, and I wasn't sleeping yet. It's always me. They think I'm sleeping. I hear that. We are hearing some horrible noises right now, like banging, like somebody is banging on the walls.
Oh.
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Excellent.
I had a Bigfoot story with a ghost story here, but.
That's all right.
Anyway, a log flew. They're getting upset with me because I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about something altogether different.
I love it.
He threw a log. Somebody threw a log. I mean, and I'm not talking like this little log. I'm talking about a tree comes flying out of the woods. I saw it. They all saw it. It was probably about 20, 25 feet away from us. And I know no bear that would do that. There's no reason for a bear to do that or would even have the strength to do that. It was just nuts. So that I'd have to say there. And everybody in that campground was like, it's a Bigfoot. It's a Bigfoot. So that's my Bigfoot experience. And then I've got to tell you this. This is a ghost story mixed with Bigfoot. We were sitting here watching Bigfoot, the movie, the one that aired at HillCon. And we were watching it on my laptop in the break room while there was a group out hunting. It was me and Amy. And we heard a growl, like a rawr, come from the corner of the break room. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I'm like, did you hear that? And she's like, yeah. Hit mute on my laptop. I have a fan in my window. I unplugged the fan, and we're listening. So I grabbed my recorder, and I started asking questions. And I said, we heard the growl. Can you tell me who you are? Why did you growl at us? And you hear on the recorder come through. Wait, oh, I said, who are you? And it goes, Bigfoot. I'm Bigfoot. And we just were like laughing. Something or someone in the room decided to play a game with us. And they were Bigfoot. And they were watching the movie with us. That's all that they were watching Bigfoot the movie with us.
I love two-way intellectual, intelligent conversations. They're just letting you know that they know what's going on. I think that's fantastic because people don't get that a lot. Hey, we're running out of time, Rochelle. Tell everybody about the upcoming convention and how they can find out more about not only the convention, but also Hillview Manor, how to book a hunt.
You basically covered it, but go to our website at www.hauntedhillviewmanor.com. Almost every question you could possibly have will be on that website, but if it's not, you can call me. The phone number is on the website. I don't always know the phone number. It's 724-657-6934. please don't call me in the middle of the night or early in the morning, because I'm not a morning person, of course, because I'm here all the time. But any questions you have, I answer the phone as often as I possibly can. I never let any time go. Like, as soon as I can call you back, I will if I can't answer the phone. But go to the website first. Check the website. If you want to book a private investigation, click on the private investigation link. If you want to come for a tour, click on the tour link. It's very simple and easy to understand. There's a calendar that shows you our available dates and dates that are booked. You can book from there. And then HillCon this weekend, September 26th, Saturday this Saturday, two days. We're nervous. Our very first paranormal convention, first one in Lawrence County, it's going to be big, way bigger than we had imagined. It started off small, and it turned into something huge. So bear with us if you come, and it's packed. You know, we weren't prepared for it to get this big, but it's going to be a blast. And we got it. We got it.
This is going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Rochelle, thank you so very much for coming on, talking about Hillview, talking about the con going on. And I want to just say have a great weekend, and I'll see you. Eric Charles and I will be pulling in on Saturday morning, all bright and bushy-tailed.
Yeah, if I don't pass out before then.
I got smelling salts. I got smelling salts. We're good. we're all good. Rochelle, thank you so, so very much. Have a great evening now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks a lot. All right, bye-bye.
Wasn't that great? Everybody, try to make it. Hillview Manor, September 26th, Saturday. Try to be there. And remember, guys, what do I always say? Do good works. Don't be a self-created victim. And until next week, where are you going to find me? I'll be in the cheap seats with the rest of the cool cats. Have a good night.
You have been listening to the Black Cat Lounge on the Para-X Radio Network. Para-X.com.